All right. If you have your Bibles, why don't you open those up to the book of Psalm 51. This morning, again, we'll be preaching from the book of Psalm 51. We're finishing up a series of sermons that we've been preaching over the last several weeks about starting to thrive in 25, relying upon God for restoration, revival, and revitalization. We want the Lord to bless us in 2025. He did bless us in 2024. He has always blessed us, and He'll bless us in the years to come. But we are specifically seeking in 2025 to begin to be revitalized as a church and restored and revived as a people and as a body. I know that God's been good to fellowship. God has provided for our church's needs. He will continue to do so. But as we talked about in Sunday school today, throughout Scripture, God is the cause of our blessing. He's the guarantee of our blessing. But there is a condition many times to our blessing, and that is our commitment, agreement to serve the Lord. It's not to serve Him to secure the blessing. It's to serve Him because of the blessing, church. He's been so faithful to us. He's been so good to us. And our commitment will open the doors, I believe, to greater blessing and greater revitalization and restoration. So I desire that for this church, and I hope you will too. And so I'd like to finish this series of messages today with a message that we are calling this morning, Open My Lips. Open My Lips, from Psalm 51, verses 12 through 15. If you can, and if you found the book of Psalm 51, why don't you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word? As I'm sure you're aware, this is David, King David, writing this psalm. He says in verse 12, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you, God, for the blessings of life. We thank you for the spirit we felt this morning in our service so far, for the blessing, Lord, and the fellowship, and Lord, just the presence of your Son, Jesus. Lord, He's with us this morning where we are gathered in His name. He is here in the midst of us, Lord. We pray now that, God, what is said and done would be His words. Lord, His instruction, the leadership of His Holy Spirit, that, God, each one of us would be convicted, Lord, to commit ourselves and to desire to worship and honor and praise Him like we never have before. Lord God, He is worthy of everything that we can lay before His feet. I pray, Lord, today that first and foremost, we'll lay our hearts before Him. God, bless us now in the rest of this service. Use it for your glory and your kingdom. And Lord, help us to keep our eyes on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. May God add the blessing to the reading of His Word. I like having a good time in church, don't you? I've had some good times in church. Haven't you? I have good times in church just about every Sunday. But that's because I get to preach. Y'all should try it sometime, all right? It's one of the best things to be able to do, to be able to preach the Word of the Lord. It's a thrilling thing to have the Holy Spirit upon you and to be able to speak the words of life, the words that can save a soul, can change a destiny. It's an incredible thing. And I feel like most people, when they go to church, they are expecting and hoping for a good time. Now, that, of course, can be translated into a lot of different activities, unfortunately. One of my favorite things to do in the Christmas season and the Easter season is to get online and see what some of the other churches are doing. And some of the other churches are doing some pretty wild things, as it turns out, all right? We're talking t-shirt cannons. We're talking full costume deer. We're talking, you know, water slides. I'm not joking, folks. I'm telling you, there are some churches putting on some performances, okay, for some of our services. And, you know, people might be having a good time, I guess. But there is something behind the good time, the source of the good time, the cause of the good time, that's better than the good time itself. After going to church one Sunday morning, there was a little boy who knelt at his bedside that night, and he prayed, "Dear God, we had a good time at church today, but I wish you had been there." Watch out. You know, we are in church here for a purpose. We're here for a reason. The purpose is not the good time. The good time comes when we meet the Lord, church. The good time comes when our hearts open forth and show forth His praise. The good times happen when King Jesus lays His hand upon us and His Holy Spirit speaks to our heart. That's when the good times come in church. If the Lord is not here this morning, then why'd we even show up today? I hope that's what you've come here seeking. I hope that's what you've come here looking for, praying for. But I'll let you know this morning, church, that many times it's the baggage that we bring to the place where the Lord's supposed to be that threatens to push Him out of the building. You know, I've always believed this. The Lord is sovereign. He is God. There's no one that can stand before Him or withstand Him, but the Lord interacts with humanity in such a way so that the Lord will not go to a place where He is not invited. And He will not stay in a place where no one has made room for Him. That goes for buildings as much as it goes for hearts today. So it was with King David. As we've been preaching over these last several weeks, you all understand the context by now. Psalm 51 is a psalm of deep sadness. It's a psalm of conviction and repentance. David, in his great sin of committing adultery with Bathsheba and then murdering her husband Uriah, because of this, he's not felt the joy of his salvation nor seen the salvation of sinners in ages, months or more. And along with that, he had shut up his lips with the reality of his heart, and they'd refused to open again. But all of that, church, is about to end for David. Because David, of course, had asked the Lord to deal with the cause of his despair. You know, if we're looking to see the joy of our salvation restored, we know now. We have to figure out what the cause is for that despair, that lack. Often it's our sin. Often it's our disobedience. Often it's our walking out of God's will. Once we've determined the cause, then we have to ask the Lord for His help. Ask the Lord to save us or redeem us or restore us or to forgive us. And then we have to seek the Lord's presence. Because without the Lord's presence, like I just preached a moment ago, we're not going to have a change or a purpose or a joy in our life any longer. We need to have the Lord in here and in here. And when the Lord responds to that type of prayer, at that point, we will again begin to share the gospel. And we will again begin to see people saved, just like David writes there in the psalm. I will teach sinners your ways. I will convert transgressors to thee, he prays. And that's a needed portion of our salvation. If we're going to have real joy today, church, we need to have the joy that comes from sharing the gospel with a lost and dying world. But then, if we want to get everything there is to get, If we want to drink down every drop of the joy that comes with a right relationship with the Lord, the last thing that we see David asking God to do is to free him from the guilt of his sin and to open the lips of his praise once more. Today, church, I'm going to beg you, I'm going to plead with you to worship the Lord, to give him praise, to give him glory, to ask him to open your lips so that you can speak about his faithfulness. Church, this is the final and vital part of restoring the joy of our salvation. And this, all of this, I think will work together to help us thrive as a church and to thrive as a people of God. We must ask the Lord to teach us to praise once more. In our praise, our hearts will lighten. In our praise, we will feel gladness once again. But church, we cannot praise this morning if we don't ask the Lord to show us how. And so would you consider with me for the next few moments what it means to have the Lord open our lips. Number one, David asks the Lord to show him how to sing again. Church, we need the Lord to show us how to sing again. We cannot enjoy the thrill or the joy of our salvation this morning if our lips won't open to offer him praise. Now, sometimes, and I don't see her in here, so this is good. We can talk about her. I annoy my wife. I know that's hard for y'all to believe, right? Okay? But I do annoy her from time to time. And one of the primary ways in which I annoy her is my singing. I love to sing, church. I don't know if you know that. But I love to sing. I get up in the morning. I'm a morning person. And I just have to clamp it down because I get up early. I got up at 5:30 this morning. And I would have been singing, all right, if I was not the only person awake in the building. So I clamp it down. But then when somebody starts to stir, when somebody starts to move around, I just like to start singing. And I sing from like 8 o'clock to at least 10:30. I'm just singing, humming, whistling, you know, just whatever it takes, okay? And my wife, who is not a morning person whatsoever, eventually will say, "Can you be quiet, please? Trying to wake up." And I say, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I forgot." I didn't forget, but trying to be gracious. I just love to sing. And listen, y'all, pray for Becky, because I'm sorry, but I'm afraid Hazel's going to be a singer too. She likes to sing too. We're just going to be, Lord's blessed me with a child who wants to sing with me, I think, because we just love to sing together. You know, David was also a man who liked to sing. David was a prolific musician, wasn't he, church? We read in the Scripture time and time again, at least a dozen references of David being a singer, being a musician. What was that instrument that he was famous for playing? That beautiful harp, right? You know that 73 of the Psalms are attributed to David personally? Songs he wrote of praise and of theology and doctrine so that God's people might be able to have them and enjoy them and worship the Lord with them. But do you know what's so sad about this story and about this place that David is in here in Psalm 51? David, a man who I'm certain, just like I, woke up every morning singing, has lost his desire to sing. He's lost his urge to lift up the name of the Lord in song. Why? How do I know that? Because in this very verse, he asked the Lord to open his lips. That means that for the last several months, in the wake of his terrible sin, in the guilt and the sadness of what he had done, he just wasn't able to praise the Lord anymore. You know, David was deeply aware of his sin, of the murder of Uriah. That man's blood was on David's hands. Modern readers will find what David did shocking. How can a man, after God's own heart, do such a thing, but we have to remember his peculiar circumstances. David was a man of very strong passions. He was a soldier, a mighty man of valor. And he was a Middle Eastern monarch, a king with absolute power. Yes, it would have been shocking for a common man to do what David did. Yes, that man would have certainly faced justice. But when it comes to the king in that day and age, king can do whatever he wants. He's the only one in charge. And so while David is feeling the pain and the sorrow of what he did because he's a man after God's own heart, the rest of the people, what have you done? I mean, this is no less than what any other king would do. You saw it, you took it. You saw what was in the way, you dealt with it. You're the king. What can we say against you, King David? Why would that be a problem? There were no restraints of custom or association which David broke. He was the absolute ruler. But in that way, it shows us here, church, because he's not been able to find peace, because he's not been able to find happiness, it shows us the difference of David's heart, that he continues to feel this guilt despite his desire and his position. And yes, just make a note here, okay? I do believe God forgave David for his wicked sin, don't you? Why do I believe that, Pastor Josh? It was an awful thing. Sure it was. But my Bible teaches me that the Lord I serve is quick to forgive. And His grace knows no bounds. And there is no end to it. I think about my life. And I think about the horrible things that I've done. You're right there with me, church. But then I think about the horrible things I've yet to do, that I will do. I've got, Lord willing, years left of my life. But do you know that God's grace is sufficient even for those sins you've not yet committed, church? He took the penalty of all on the cross, didn't He? The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 5, verses 20 through 21, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So yes, when David repented of his sin, he found grace for forgiveness of even that sin. However, still going to take a miracle for this man to sing again. You don't just murder somebody and then find your voice. Find your joy again. You know, this reminds me, certainly, hopefully, none of us have ever been in a condition like David. But many times our circumstances are not conducive for you and I to feel like praising the Lord. Nobody said amen right there, Brother Mike, but I feel like somebody's there, right? Have you ever had a circumstance or an experience where you've just felt great difficulty in worshiping the Lord? Well, I would worship the Lord, but don't you understand, Pastor Josh? Don't you realize I'm suffering? I'm grieving the loss of a loved one, a spouse or a child. I can't sing. How would I do it? I have no joy. It's all been taken away. I wish I could sing, but someone's wounded me, Pastor Josh. They've broken my heart. They've broken my trust. They've betrayed me. How can I sing, Pastor Josh? Oh, Pastor Josh, I wish I could sing. But I'm in just such pain. I'm in just such agony. I'm sick. I'm ill. I'm old. I want to sing. I want to lift up my voice. But Pastor Josh, I think I'm past my singing years. Church, I'm just going to tell you out of love. The circumstances don't determine whether we ought to be praising the Lord. What determines whether we ought to be praising the Lord is how good the Lord is. And so, yes, I'm certain that some of us have pretty bad circumstances. Some of us have pretty bad hardships. But that's not changed how good the Lord is one little bit. And in fact, the Bible teaches us that the Lord's mercies are renewed every day, and that every day you and I live, he just gets sweeter and sweeter. And the closer we get to seeing him face to face, the more glad we ought to be, church. Because we know one day we'll close our eyes here and then we'll open them and be with him face to face forevermore. So is that not worth praising today, church? It's not our circumstances. It's our Lord who's worthy of the praise. Thus David declares, God, I cannot open my lips. You're going to have to open my lips. You're going to have to show me how to sing again. It's an act of God to restore this man's praise. But David understands that it must return, so he calls upon God to pry open his lips that refuse to sing. And I'm grateful today that we know the Lord answered that prayer, because guess what? David wrote this psalm, a song of praise, a song of forgiveness. Church, we might have circumstances that shut our lips, but there's always a reason to worship the Lord. He just does great things. One of my favorite hymns goes to something like this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Do you know the rest of it? Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory. Great things he hath done. Has he done great things today, church? Can someone praise him then, because he's worthy of it this morning? I think of Job. Job's circumstances weren't worth singing about, were they? In one day, he lost everything that was precious to him. His wealth, his possessions, his children. One day. But in Job 1:21, what is it that Job says? Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It wasn't the circumstances, church. It was the God who gives and takes away that's worthy of the praise this morning. To summarize, you know, you might be in a bad spot. You might be feeling pretty low. But have you ever considered that perhaps the way to get out of this despair is through the voice of praise? That's where Jonah was. Jonah prayed, it says, with thanksgiving. And guess what? The fish spat him out on the dry land. Even in the belly of Sheol, he found gratitude and praise for a God who deserves it. Church, listen to this. God does not need our praise. Y'all know that? You could shut your mouth, and guess what the Bible says? The rocks and the hills will cry out to him one day. He doesn't need our praise, but he deserves it. And then listen to this. You and I don't deserve the opportunity to praise him, but we need it. We need to praise him. Lord, show us how to sing again. Number two, God, David prays, show us our proper sacrifices. He does this in verses 16 and 17. He says here in verse 16, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. You know, we cannot enjoy the thrill of our salvation if our hearts aren't right before him. The reality of our situation is this, believer. Cries for forgiveness and our songs of worship aren't worth the breath it takes to offer him if our heart isn't right behind them. We have to be sincere in our worship and genuine in our repentance. And David understood that. It has to start in our hearts, and it must humble our souls to surrender. This is not a truth that would have come naturally to David. In his day and age, monarchs were all the time risking the ire of this god or that god. And so when something was perceived to have happened, then the monarchs would just say to their wise men, their mystics, hey, tell me what I need to do. You remember in the book of Exodus where Pharaoh was refusing to let the people go, that once Aaron and Moses came and did their miracles, who was it that the Pharaoh called upon? He called upon his own sorcerers and said, hey, tell us what's going on here. Just tell me what I have. Do I have to kill 100 bulls? 1,000 bulls? How much blood do I need to shed to satisfy this God or that God? That was their minds. And certainly David, as a king, was wealthy enough to offer sacrifice after sacrifice. In fact, I'm certain that David, likely up until this point, had been making sacrifices. Y'all in fall, one of my favorite things about fall is you go outside and people are burning stuff, you know what I'm talking about? And you smell that delicious smell of wood smoke. I love that smell, all right? Some of y'all don't smell like that smell. Y'all didn't say, okay, but that's the smell. And you go outside and you walk around, your clothes, after you come back inside, your clothes smell like wood smoke, right? I would guess that the people of the palace at David was living, they're probably getting tired, probably, of the smell of all those sacrifices. I would guess that King David's priests at this point were working overtime to make the sacrifices necessary to try to move something in David's heart, because he wasn't feeling it. He wasn't enjoying it. He was in despair. By the way, I wonder if Catholic priests work overtime. That's just something I was thinking about when I was writing this sermon. You know, if you have a sin you got to confess, but it's late at night, you call them up, do they get time and a half? I don't know. I'm about to ask them, okay? I'm grateful we have a great high priest, aren't you? Willing to hear our confession at any moment. But David could have made these sacrifices. Certainly he did, but the sacrifices weren't changing anything. What was it that God wanted? Broken heart, a contrite spirit, sincerity. David was contradicting himself. He was doing things likely out of habit, just going through the motions. But what God was waiting for was for his heart to be right. I got to say this. I'm cutting some of this because I'm going long, but I got to tell you all this. This just touched my heart. It's easy to imagine in David's day how many people could have despised his broken and contrite heart. Let me just read that again here in verse 51, chapter 51, verse 17. He says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, thou will not despise. I just told you all, though, that a king in that day and age wasn't supposed to be acting like that. If a king did something, there's nothing to be sad about because the king is the law, right? I can imagine that many of the kings in David's day and age, if they met with him for some official reason, maybe he shared what had happened and how he just couldn't get over it. Maybe they looked at him and was like, David, what's wrong with you? I mean, come on, it's just a soldier. You got thousands of more. What? Why do you care? This one died. Whose wife? She's yours. You're the king. You have what you want. So why are you acting like this? And then when he repented, oh man, I bet they despised that. Why would David repent of something he shouldn't have been wrong, sad about doing in the first place? Maybe that convicted them for their evil. Are you following me? The world don't like it, church, when your heart gets sincere and your soul gets genuine about your service and respect and love for the Lord. When you begin to offer those sacrifices, the world will despise them. But David, gratefully, thank God, he didn't care what the world despised. He only cared what the Lord would not despise. And the Lord would not despise a genuine, broken, and repentant heart. Church, how many in our world today are willing to give Jesus a heart that He won't despise? Donna Hutchins, a Christian writer, writes, one day my friend's daughter Brittany came up to her and said, "Mom, I know that Jesus lives inside my heart, but how do I tell him I love him?" She thought about it for a moment, and then she seemed to have an idea. She said, "How about if I write, 'I love you,' on a piece of paper and eat it? Do you think you'll get the note?" How do we tell Jesus we love him in this day and age? Do we care so much about what other people think about us? Listen, I've been praising the Lord in my car sometimes, and people will pull up beside me, and I'll look over at them, and they're just laughing their head off at me because I'm in there going, "How great, you know, thou art," you know, just me and myself and the Lord. People think you're crazy today if you don't claim for yourself what people think you should claim for yourself and you attribute to somebody else. Did y'all see what Neil Grass and the Tyson said about the Super Bowl? He said, "Boy, I find it weird that athletes thank the Lord when they succeed, but they never thank him when they fail." Like he thought of something real smart. That's the attitude of the world today, church. But we don't need to care what the world has to say. We just need to care about what we're giving the Lord this morning. The Lord wants a proper sacrifice. He wants a heart that's genuine and contrite. And if we don't have that heart, our praise, well, it'll be heartless. Lastly, and then I'll close. The Lord wants us to show. We ask the Lord here, David asked the Lord to show us our Savior's kingdom, verses 18 through 19. Here David writes at the end of this psalm, Psalm 51, chapter 51, verse 18, "Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thy altar." And simply, church, what I want to tell you here before we go is that we will not experience the thrill of our salvation unless or until He begins to use us to build His kingdom. That's the natural progression here, church. The Lord opens our lips. He accepts a genuine sacrifice of praise and devotion. And then we're in a position where God can use us for His kingdom work. You know, as king over Israel, I'm certain that David was burdened for the welfare of Jerusalem. Listen, I feel burdened as a pastor of a church of about 60 or 70 people. I can't imagine what it was like for King David to be burdened for a kingdom. And I doubly am aware of the pain that David must have felt, knowing that his sin had caused an issue for this kingdom that he so cherished. Now, we don't know if the failure of David had manifested as a problem for the kingdom, such as a famine or a drought or something physically demonstrating the Lord's displeasure. We don't know that. But we do know that David knew in his sin he had not only failed as a man, as a husband, and a father, he had also failed as a king over God's people. And so knowing that he had failed in that way, he needed, with all of his heart and soul, for God to use him once again for the work in the kingdom, to bless the kingdom, not despite of him, but through him and because of him. Church, this is a good prayer to pray and bring to the Lord. You know, it's difficult for us to be concerned with the kingdom of God when our hearts are distracted by our own problems and our own issues, right? I mean, you know, there's a lot going on in the kingdom of God today. A lot of things that are wonderful. A lot of things we can be a part of. But if we are wrapped up in our own burdens and our own sadness, our own despair, then we're going to have difficulty finding the Lord's leadership to be able to participate and be used in this work. And so the reality here with David was, well, because of his sin, he had not been doing for the kingdom what God certainly wanted him to do. Church, our work for God's kingdom will not continue as a church, as a people individually, until we settle the issues of our hearts and our souls. Until we can praise the Lord with our lips, we're not going to be able to use these same lips to share the work of the Lord with a world that needs it desperately. We, church, have to be able to, in sincerity, take to the work and service of the Lord. Because otherwise, with the burden in our heart, it's going to seem onerous. It's going to seem impossible. Returning to the thrill of our salvation is a prerequisite for seeing God to use us for the glory of His work. I'll just share this and then I'll close. This comes from Matthew 16. Y'all know this passage. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. It says, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say Thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but My Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, this truth, I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Believer, Christ is the key for us to find the strength to be used for God's kingdom. Christ wants to use you and what He's done for you and the reality of your salvation to be a blessing to the people of this earth. But if you've lost the thrill of that salvation, if you found it difficult to praise the Lord, then the kingdom work will pass you by. You need to get back to your knees this morning. We need to get back to hearts that are open to Him. We need to get back to hands that are raised and tongues that will say forth the praise of the One who's done so much for us. If we won't do that, then the work of the kingdom will pass us by. And we'll be like David, a shadow of his former self for those months in his palace, dwelling about, broken by his sin and his hardships. Here's how I'm going to close this morning. I've tried not to ramble. It's tough. I've got so much I want to share with you. I'll leave it with this thought. There was a man leaving a church service one Sunday morning. I'm sure you've probably heard this before. But as he left, he kind of stopped with the pastor. And that's my favorite. When you're shaking somebody's hand, and then you go to let go, and they hold on to you, and they draw in. You're like, uh-oh, hold on. Wait, prepare yourself, right? This guy held on. He leaned into the pastor. And he said, Pastor, I didn't really enjoy the worship today. Pastor took that for a moment and he said, well, bless your heart, brother. That's okay. We weren't worshiping you. How about that? I've tried over the last few weeks to give you as practical a path as possible as a believer for what it means to again enjoy and experience the joy of your salvation. I don't think anybody's in the situation that David was in, or they've committed adultery and murdered the husband of the person they committed adultery with. Hopefully. Come to me for counseling if you afterwards, okay? That's you. But I don't know what situation you might be in. And I may never know fully. I may never truly understand. The Holy Ghost this morning can identify for you whatever it is the obstacle has been, if there is one, that is preventing you from fully surrendering to the Lord. All I know is that if we're going to be a church that really is serious about the business of the kingdom today, personally, with Jesus, we have to get it sorted out. We have to find that joy again. We have to find that thrill. And I don't care if you're young or if you're old. I don't care if you're sick or if you're healthy. I don't care if you've got 2 days to live or 200 years to live. Are you with me here? You're on this earth for a reason. When Jesus saved you, He left you here for His service. He will keep you here until He's done with you. And so if I'm letting something get in the way of that salvation, that joy, that service, that praise, that witnessing, that sharing the gospel, then the best thing for me this morning is to be like David. Repent, humble yourself, seek the Lord's help, and ask Him to show you what to do. I want us to thrive as a church, but we cannot thrive as a church if individually our hearts are broken and are gone astray. So will you be honest with the Lord this morning? And if it's you that we've been preaching this message for, I don't know. Maybe we're all fine and perfect and happy. That's great. But if it's you, this message we've been preaching for, will you do yourself a favor and do some business with the Lord today, this morning, before you leave, before you get up out of the pew, today, right now? God has remarkable things in store for you. He had some remarkable things left in David's life, but David had to deal with this first. What is it that we have to deal with? Will you bow your heads and close your eyes? No altar call this morning. No invitation of singing. Just you, me, and a God who desperately loves you. A God who loves you so much, He came to this earth as Jesus and shed His precious blood on that cross. Got up out of the grave 3 days later, arose to heaven on high, and there He is making intercession for you and I this very moment today. He's also here in this place with us. God, I pray. I love these people. God, a shepherd saw that a sheep was sick. A shepherd would do everything within his power to make that sheep well again. God, I've preached this series of sermons not because necessarily there's a specific person that I'm concerned about. That's not it. But God, I've just perceived in my spirit that perhaps there's someone here with us who's not well. And certainly, it's not going to be as serious as what David dealt with. But God, it's still serious. And that joy, that presence, that praise, that witnessing, it's just not happening like it used to for this person. God, you know who that is. You've been speaking to their heart throughout this service and all these other services they've been a part of. God, if that's someone in our service today, will you just do business with them right now? God, will you just convict them? Speak to them in love like you did with David. Oh, David, what have you done? What have you let get between you and me? There's a way to deal with it. This moment. Will you offer up your heart? Will you humble your spirit? God, if that's someone here today, God, please, Lord, make them well. Restore to them the joy of their salvation. Do not take from them your presence. And help them to leave this building, God, in a relationship right with you, ready to share the gospel, ready to open their lips in praise in the day that we still have. We love you, God. We thank you for everything you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.